Broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hey, you're in the clubhouse and welcome. It is September 29th, 2012, the second day of Ryder Cup 2012. Boy, do we have some matches going on. The U.S. is just trouncing the Euro team. Got Justin Rose and Ian Poulter. They're up, one up through 17 over Bubba Watson and Webb Simpson. Lee Westwood and Luke Donald. Well, they went down 7-6 to Keegan Bradley and Phil Mickelson. Keegan Bradley and Phil Mickelson have been amazing to watch. If you get a chance today, I just hope they come back out again. Or will they be set? Who knows? It's completely up to Davis Love. They were asked, would they like to come back? And they said it's up to the captain. Of course it is. Jason Duffner, Zach Johnson, two up through 14 over Nicholas Coulthard and Sergio Garcia. Coulthard put on, what a show, eight birdies and an eagle yesterday. Amazing demonstration. And then we've got Rory McIlroy and Graham McDowell. You know, those two guys, number one in the world, and Steady Eddie, Mr. Graham McDowell. You know, they're down to Jim Furyk and Brent Snedeker, and two up through 14, the U.S. team. So we're just going to see how it goes. In the clubhouse this morning, scheduled to be on the show, Bob Bubka, voice of golf, World Golf Radio, the 2012 Ryder Cup at Medina. He's over there right now and probably distracted by all the things going on. He's scheduled to be in the show. John Huggan, Golf Digest, Golf World contributor, hails from Scotland. Interesting position he took on who's going to win, and I can't wait to talk to him. And Steve D'Amelio, the senior golf writer, USA Today. Okay, let's thank the sponsors who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Also brought to you by Discount Furniture Warehouse, offering a wide range of furniture to complement your island lifestyle. 345 North Nimitz Highway, visit HawaiiDiscountFurniture.com. Discount Furniture Warehouse, where the prices are so low, it's insane. And by Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Let's start off, first of all, with the U.S. Ryder Cup captain, Davis Love, summing up his Ryder Cup team.
They all played very, very well, and I was really impressed. We played as a team today, and I think that's all we wanted, and we got off to a great start.
We certainly did. We, the U.S. team, that is, of course, in the Friday morning foursomes. Jim Furyk and Brent Snedeker, they did not pull off a win. It was interesting to watch Furyk. Of course, he took a lot of heat for not being able to perform in Ryder Cup. Now, he does so well. He did so well in Australia during the President's Cup. Rory and Graham pulled off their win yesterday. It wasn't a resounding win. Nothing like what we've seen from Phil Mickelson and Keegan Bradley. 4-3 over Luke Donald and Sergio Garcia. Where is Sergio's energy? I mean, he could not play the last Ryder Cup. He had to be an assistant captain, and he was Mr. Energy, you know, Mr. Energy Bunny. The Energizer Bunny was running around. We just don't see that. I don't know where the energy is. Lee Westwood can't seem to play either. With Francisco Molinari, they lost to Jason Duffner and Zach Johnson. And it's interesting watching Duffner. He displays absolutely no energy. So I really shouldn't talk about. But normally, Sergio Garcia is so energized and so much fun to watch. And Duffner's just always this way, just very staid. And then there was Steve Stricker and Tiger Woods. Tiger cannot play alternate shot. I don't know why. Maybe he feels like he has to put the ball in a place for the person he's playing with, and then he can't perform. I don't know why. Maybe Bob Bubka can tell us. Ian Poulter and Justin Rose had a absolutely fabulous first round. I mean, they won 2-1. And then Captain Olathabal decided to sit Poulter And that surprised me. Put out Rose again with Keimer. Keimer couldn't play. The U.S. beat the Rose-Keimer 3-2. It was Dustin Johnson and Matt Kuchar playing beautifully. The final match, the Lee Westwood, Nicholas Kolsarts. Nicholas Kolsarts, if you don't know his name, you're going to know it by the end of Sunday. Amazing display of putting. He could not miss. It was amazing just watching him. And he was so calm. So the Euros won that over Tiger Woods and Steve Stricker. Now, Woods played well. I think he had 7 birdies. Bubka, you're with us now?
I am, Danielle.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm excellent, sir. Excellent. Great to have you on. I was just talking about the Lee Westwood, Nicholas Kolsarts. Were you watching that Kolsarts display? Lee Westwood was along for the ride.
Yeah, but everything that Nicholas Kolsarts did yesterday, which meant making 8 birdies and an eagle, and certainly was the darling of the European Ryder Cup team. Today he came to the 17th hole with the match hanging in its balance and put it into the water. So with Sergio Garcia, they were, you know, mounting an attack, and they were in prime position right there to do something. And Nicholas Kolsarts undoubtedly felt the pressure of a Ryder Cup. It is his first. The score he shot yesterday was the lowest shot by any rookie in any Ryder Cup. So we have to give him his due, but he felt the pressure today.
Okay, on my scoreboard, I'm looking online, so it may not be up to date. I'm looking at the RyderCup.com site, and it says that they are right now 2 up through 14, Duffner and Zach Johnson.
Yeah, that's you're way behind. You know, not your fault, the computer's fault. That match has been completed. They have won that match. There's only one match left out on the golf course, and it's kind of an interesting one. Rory McIlroy and Graham McDowell, they had a Rory McIlroy had about a 10-foot birdie putt on the 17th hole after a magnificent shot by Graham McDowell, but it didn't find the bottom of the cup, so they go to the 18th with the United States 1 up. If Europe can even just get a half a point in that last match, they'd be more than happy.
can you give me an idea? I'm kind of flabbergasted by the lack of performance on the part of a number of players. The Rory McIlroy, number one in the world, Lee Westwood, Graham McDowell, Steady Eddie. You know, what's going on with this Euro team?
Well, it's not easy being on a Ryder Cup team playing in the other team's country. I mean, it is loud here. The Chicago fans, you know, crazy sports fans, and not necessarily golf fans, but they're crazy sports fans. And we've been getting here when it's pitch dark in the morning, and they're here in droves just waiting to get in and make some noise and enjoy themselves. Anybody that's been out here the last couple of days, even if they've never been to a golf event before, Danielle, they are just simply enjoying the experience beyond anything that you could do. I think you got a commercial coming up right now.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I know you do.
Yes, I do. All right. Yes, I do. Right. And we'll be right back with you right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
In the security business, trust is earned over time.
That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment. from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Thank you. And before Bob Bupka comes back and we continue our Ryder Cup show coverage, we have huge news in Hawaii for Hawaii's junior golf and golf in general. And what a thrill for Hawaii's junior golfers. Michelle Wee is taking over as the title sponsor of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association Tournament of Champions. You know the junior golfers, they play 9 months out of the year. They fly from island to island. They compete in tournament play, whether it's stroke play or match play, and they vie for the top points to make it into that coveted Tournament of Champions field. And now Michelle Wee is going to be the title sponsor. It was a record-setting season in 2002. She won, she was 12, the 15 to 18-year-old division, of course, that launched her career, basically capturing national attention, and the international world started looking at her as well. So this is what Michelle says. This is my chance to give back to the organization and help the young golfers in Hawaii grow in this game that's given me so much. The Hawaii State Junior Golf Association and I go way back to when I was just a kid who loved to hit the ball a long way. They gave me the opportunity to develop my game and competitive drive in an open, nurturing environment. They really made it possible for me to take my game to the next level. And I really want to thank Michelle Wee for stepping up. It certainly takes a lot of the heat off the folks at the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, including Mary B. Porter King, who is the founder. Even though she says it was me and a whole bunch of other people, she was the driving force, and she says, I am so proud of Michelle in reaching out to the HSJGA to build a partnership. She is truly leading by example by giving back. And thank you to Michelle Wee for taking that step. Has Bob joined us yet? Is he back?
I have.
Oh, good. I know you're busy. You're in England. You're on in Ireland. I had this great opening. Do you know that? First of all, Bob's author of the Ryder Cup, golf's greatest event, and he is powerful enough to set off a betting frenzy in Ireland, right? What year was that, when Lucas Glover was won?
U.S. Open at Bethpage.
Yes, he was 171-1, and then after you said that you thought Lucas Glover was going to win, the odds went to 11-8.
Yeah, I got a lot of friends in Ireland, believe me. I've been told I can come there and never buy lunch or dinner for a year. So happy about that. And not such good news here for the European side. On the last hole, Jim Furyk had to play out of a fairway bunker, played a magnificent shot, knocked it on the green. Graham McDowell only 132 yards away after a 318-yard drive by Rory McIlroy. But pulled it. He's a little bit long just off the green. McIlroy will have to sink that to have any hope of a European side getting a half there. Otherwise, it looks like it is going to be 8-2-4, I guess, going into, the afternoon session today. And, 4 points down in Ryder Cup, Danielle, you know it very well. That's a big mountain to climb. And by the way, let me add my congratulations to Michelle Wee and the people behind that, supporting junior golf in Hawaii. I think that's absolutely terrific, and congratulations, Michelle.
Absolutely. And it's like Mary B. Porter King said, she's the First Lady of Golf, PGA of America's First Lady of Golf, and she said, I don't think Michelle realizes how powerful she is. And in just donating her time, she's going to energize fundraising efforts, and she's collecting all kinds of prizes, collectibles, plus matching the first $10,000 in donations in an online fundraising campaign. So if $10,000 is raised, Michelle, we will match that. It's really great to see that she's giving back, because she's gotten a lot of flack, frankly, even in Hawaii, by some of the And even Mary B. Porter King came out a long time ago and said, I wish Michelle hadn't gone off and played the events against the men. I wish she'd just stuck to the junior golf and beat everyone in her age group as she continued on into the game of golf so that she would learn to win, even though she did win on a number of different arenas. At some point, she jumped out and didn't stick with her age group. And a lot of people think that hurt her game. We'll see. I think after going to Stanford, I'm giving her until next year. I think she'll show us what she's going to do with her game, and it's going to be interesting to watch. But interesting to watch is the Ryder Cup, and I have been amazed by Rory McIlroy and his lack of ability to sink a putt. I have been amazed by Lee Westwood, who just doesn't seem to have any energy at all. And Sergio Garcia, he had to sit out last Ryder Cup, and now he gets to play, and he just doesn't seem. What do you think it is? Is it the expectation, anticipation, having all that adrenaline, and then it not being focused into what you're doing?
It's a lot simpler than that. It's a mere fact that the United States has been playing better, and if you start running around showing energy and they're all happy and you're losing, they'll probably send a paddy wagon out to pick you up and take you off the golf course. So we have to forgive them there. You can't be energized when you're losing. It's virtually impossible. And here's a huge putt for Rory McIlroy. It didn't go in.
Okay.
And now the United States is going to win, get a half in that point. So I guess it's going to be 8.5 to 4.5.
Four and a half.
That doesn't make sense.
Seven and a half.
I had the numbers screwed up. That's right.
I think it might be 7.5, 4.5. Is that what it is?
That'd be right. That'd be 12.
Yeah. So, it's
good math, Danielle.
Thank you.
You have to have good math when just counting all the commercials you have to run for people that want to be on your show.
And thank you. Now, what about the pairings for this afternoon?
Let me run those down for you real quick. We'll move on then. It's Dustin Johnson, Matt Kuchar are going to play together against Nicholas Kolsarts and Paul Laurie, kind of a strange combination. Bubba Watson, Webb Simpson is going to stay out there. This time they'll go against Justin Rose and Francesco Molinari from Italy. Then it's Tiger Woods, Steve Stricker against Sergio Garcia, Luke Donald, Jason Dufner, and Zach Johnson against Rory McIlroy and Ian Poulter. And I can guarantee you in advance the media is going to be questioning the pulling of Phil Mickelson and Keegan Bradley, who have won their first three matches.
We just lost you for a second, but I was talking about that at the beginning of the show, whether or not they would be sat for the afternoon, and they both said, that's up to the captain. But don't you think that they should be rested for tomorrow's singles? I think we've completely lost.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you can hear me.
No, I got you.
The excitement here.
they've been having some real problems with communication from the Ryder Cup. Some of the signals get cut off because there are so many people communicating over at Ryder Cup that it's cutting everybody else off. So I think we've just lost Bob, and really appreciate the time he's taken to call in. It's just it's interesting to see the idea, but it's up to the captain. I find the combination. I wanted to ask him why he thought the Nicholas Kolsarts Paul Laurie combo was so odd. Paul Laurie was asked what he thought about no rough, since Davis Love decided to take the rough out of play at Medina, and it was supposed to make the long hitters on the U.S. team feel more comfortable. But of course, they've got some long hitters on that Euro team as well, and they thought that they'd be just as comfortable as the Americans. We're going to have what's going to be a pretty beautiful day today. Partly sunny with scattered showers windward and Mauka. Mainly this afternoon, some isolated showers, the high between 82 and 87. And it's going to be hot and humid, okay, because we lost the winds, but the surf's up. So go to the beach. South Shore looking pretty good. North Shore's coming up. And we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
An ounce
ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Well, it certainly is looking like a very lopsided event with the U.S. leading and winning all, you know, so many of the matches yesterday and most of them this morning. Colin Montgomery kept saying on television that it's not looking good right now, but this is a marathon with a lot more golf to go. And then this morning, I think he started changing that tune and started saying something like, well, we've really got to do something pretty soon for things to turn around. European team captain Jose Maria Olazabal yesterday was asked about the game plan for today.
No, we stick to the plan. The only thing is that I think in the afternoon session, we just faced players that were more inspired than us and play better golf than us. What we need to do is just to step it up and play better golf tomorrow. Simple as that.
Well, it's not working. So I think he's going to have a chat with the guys before they go out this afternoon, because they're going to have to get fired up regardless of how the U.S. team is playing. You can't get depressed. That's the worst thing that can happen to you when you're playing golf. We're going to kind of switch before John Huggins joins us. It's going to be interesting to see what the Scotsman has to say about this Ryder Cup. We're going to talk with Sherry Menor. She is McNamara calling in from the... She is actually the Senior Vice President and the COO of Government Affairs of the Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii. And there's a great event coming up. It's the inaugural Business on the Green Golf Tournament. There are a lot of sponsors presented by ALSCO, the star advertiser, Kapolei Golf Course. Of course, we just were at Kapolei last weekend for the Champions Tour inaugural Pacific Links Hawaii Championship. Willie Wood walked away. He was way down at the beginning, and then he came back. Of course, it took somebody else not to play too well for him to pull off his victory, and he knew that, but he just kept playing his game. And that's kind of the message I have. I'd like you to just realize that most people don't play at the level you watch on television. I'd say 95%. I was saying 90% yesterday, but I'd say 95% of the people who play golf, we're just hackers, okay? We're not very good, but we have a good time. And that's the bottom line. And that's what I think Business on the Green Golf Tournament is all about. Sherry Menor McNamara, welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you very much. And tell me, what inspired you? This is your inaugural event. Has the Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii ever done a golf tournament? It's not easy.
No, it's not. But we, you know, as a business organization, we just felt that we have to. It just made sense. We have approximately 1,000 members, employing 200,000 employees. And it's just, as you say, a great way to network, spend time with peers, and just have great fun.
Fun. So who can sign up for this? Do you have to be a member of the Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii?
No, it's open to anyone. And it's on October 12th at the Kapolei Golf Course, as you mentioned, Shotgun and Noon, presented by ALSCO. We have some great sponsors as well as prizes. We're giving away one of the hole-in-one prizes is an Audi A3 by Jan Automotive. A chance to win $10,000. a trip to Vegas. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be a lot of fun. It's not that expensive. It's $225 per person. For a three-person team, it goes down to $200, $600 per team. And you, do you have lunch and poo-poos and all that good stuff?
Oh, yes. We're definitely going to have food on the course provided by Ruth Chris Steakhouse, Romano's Macaroni Grill, Pacific Beach Hotel Shinarium, as well as products provided by Pepsi Hawaii and Kona Brewing Company. So there'll be a lot of food and drinks. And also, there'll be a chance to win some great clubs on the golf course.
Did you say win clubs?
Yes. Callaway is providing some putters for the longest drive contest, as well as the putting contest.
Now, let's go back to what I said earlier. You do not have to be a great golfer. You're not going to embarrass yourself. Promise. The only way you can embarrass yourself in a golf tournament like this is if you don't get up to the ball and hit it as quickly as possible. Do not pretend that you need to take your time to figure out your shot. That'll drive the people you're playing with crazy, okay?
I absolutely agree with you, Danielle. I'm one of those golfers that just go there and have fun.
Yeah. Well, it's important that, you know, you understand your skill level. You know, seriously. And you'll make a better impression on those people you're trying to impress, those business people that you're trying to network with. If you show them, you know, hey, I'm here for the camaraderie. I'm here for the game. I'm here for the green. I'm here for the lovely weather we're having, for being at Kapolei, whatever. You know, I'm here to support. Or do you have a particular charity that you're working with?
Actually, this is to benefit a chamber. We are a business organization, and one of our main functions is to advocate for our members and the business community in building a better business climate as well as economy for Hawaii.
So that's what we're raising money for you to get that message out.
Correct.
Absolutely great. So this is the Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii, the voice of business in Hawaii, and putting on Business on the Green Golf Tournament presented by ALSCO. This is open to all businesses. You do not have to be a member. Of course, they'd like you to be, but you do not have to be a member. And you need to register. The Friday deadline is October 5th, so you've got another week. This coming week, you have to register. You can go online or you can call 545-4300. For a single person, you don't have to be a team. You can just go and sign up. It's $225 per person. Team of $600 per person. It gets you three places. And if you want to have a tea sponsorship, add on $200, you get a little bit of advertising. Fabulous to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Absolutely. Is there something I may have left out that you wanted to add?
Actually, we still have some director's packages as spots available. And it's really neat because that package provides a great Under Armour golf shirt, the Chamber logo, as well as the Callaway Razor hybrid club. And then the President's Package, which is at $3,500, that provides a Callaway Razor Fit driver, as well as a golf shirt and a number of other benefits.
So we've got the President's Package, Director's Package. Those are still, there's still openings there. And there's you check in at 10 o'clock in the morning. You can go to the driving range. The putting greens are open for you to practice, to warm up. There's some pre-tournament games. At 12 o'clock, the shotgun start. And at 5:30, the awards banquet. Okay? So you're going to go have fun and you're going to play fast.
That we are going to aim for. Finish right on time.
Right, finish on time, yes.
Exactly.
Sherry Minora McNamara, thank you so much for calling in. Senior Vice President, Government Affairs for the Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii.
Thank you, Danielle, for the opportunity.
Absolutely. We'll be back after this with John Huggin, contributor, Golf Digest and Golf World. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played.
Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
In the security business, trust is earned over time.
That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star, Star Protection Agency.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal. That's Alakai Mechanical.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back into the clubhouse. We've got John Huggan, golf writer and author of, for instance, The Only Golf Lesson You'll Ever Need by Hank Haney with John Huggan. The Golf Swing, the definitive golf instructional book, David Ledbetter with John Huggan. Contributor to Golf Digest and Golf World. And if you go to Scotsman.com, you'll find many articles written by John Huggan. Welcome to the show.
Nice to be with you.
Absolutely. And now, well, you know, I was reading one of your golfdigest.com articles, and it had to do with who you were picking, and I was kind of frankly surprised, but apparently you're dead on, sir. You were picking the U.S. team. Why?
Well, I'm nearly always wrong. So I think the only time I've ever been right in a Ryder Cup was in 2006 when the American team, you know, was so weak it was obvious even to me that the Europeans would be strong favourites. But I must admit, I'm not quite right this week. I didn't think it was going to be quite as one-sided as it's been so far. I mean, we've still got a long way to go, obviously, but the Americans are, you know, in prime position to win right now, even with two sessions to go.
I know. I mean, you're up 4, USA 8.
Yeah, who would have thunk it?
I know. I'm looking at, I mean, when you look at we've got the world number one on the European team. Ian Poulter's no slouch in match play. Luke Donald, former number one. Sergio Garcia with all of his energy. All of these guys are fabulous. What do you think is happening for this team?
Well, you're right. I mean, they're all terrific players, but the best players in the European team, nearly all of them, have arrived here, you know, struggling to varying degrees. I mean, Lee Westwood being the prime example, he hasn't played very well at all, apart from one week where he was second to Rory in one of the FedEx tournaments for maybe 2 or 3 months now. I mean, he's struggled. And Luke Donald, excuse me, hasn't been quite the player that he was last year. I mean, for the whole of 2012, Sergio Garcia has struggled forever with his putting. So guys that, you know, Europe were relying on to maybe get at least 3 points out of five, maybe 3.5, haven't stepped up. I mean, the only one who's performed to anything like what we would have expected is Ian Poulter, who's won both his games so far.
Yeah, Nicholas Kolsart's been quite the man. What did he say he was going to be, the dude?
Yeah, well, he is a kind of cool character. There's no doubt about that. He's got a real nice manner about him as well, and he's also the longest hitter in European golf, which doesn't hurt.
No, it doesn't. Now, the two ones that completely throw me off, I do not understand what's happening with number one, Rory McIlroy. Let's start with Rory.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, he's been, I didn't mention Graham McDowell as well. I mean, Graham McDowell's not playing anything like he can.
Exactly.
He's struggling, and he's kind of dragged Rory down the last couple of days. I mean, I think the matches that they've played wouldn't have been as close had it not been for Rory performing as well as he has. I mean, he's hit most of the good shots. And Graham, for all his, you know, fighting qualities and he's a great putter and all the rest of it, he fights his full swing technique almost constantly. And this is one of those periods where it's kind of getting the better of him, to be honest.
Now, they say that, you know, if the team wins, the captain gets way too much credit. And if the team loses, the captain gets all the blame. So what is Captain Jose Maria Olazabal doing wrong?
Well, the second guessing has already started, as you can imagine. And I must admit that I'm I'm slightly perplexed by two or three of the decisions that he's made, most notably yesterday afternoon when he left out Ian Poulter, Luke Donald and Sergio Garcia. I'm all for giving guys a little rest. I mean, as the history tells us that the people who've played four games before the singles tend to lose more often than not come Sunday because they're so drained by the efforts of the previous 2 days. But to leave all three of those guys out in the same series seemed like an odd decision to me. That was a lot to ask of the other players. If he'd left them out maybe one at a time or maybe just two of them in one particular series, that would have made more sense, I think.
Okay, so that was mistake number one. He said he was going to stick with the same game plan after yesterday, going into today. So what do you think he's saying to these guys going into this afternoon?
Well, I mean, I think he's probably saying we need to win at least 3-1, which I'm sure is everyone knows that.
Yeah.
But I did hear through the grapevine that he wasn't too happy last night. I think it would have been interesting to be a fly on the wall in the European team room last night when the team discussion was taking place. I can't imagine it was too pretty, though.
No. Do they play much ping pong? It seems the U.S. team is playing ping pong all the time.
Well, I think they do, but not nearly as much. I mean, they certainly don't have the same obsession that the Americans seem to have. But the especially without Fredrik Jakobsen, the Swede in the team, he's apparently in almost international class at table tennis. Matt Kuchar can barely win a point off him, and he's easily the best American player, apparently.
That's right. We're talking with John Huggan, Golf Digest, Golf World contributor, Scotsman.com. Got to ask you, you wrote a very interesting article about the PGA of America hosting this event, but it's really about the PGA Tour versus the European Tour, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, it is. I mean, it's billed as, you know, USA against Europe, but it's not really. I mean, it's really the American players on the PGA Tour versus the European players, full stop. You know, European players, were members of the European Tour.
Yeah.
Because if you were going to have the 12 best European golfers, full stop, here this week, Carl Pettersson from Sweden, by way of North Carolina and whatever else, would be one of those 12. But he isn't a member of the European Tour, so that precludes them from being a member of what is billed as a European team. It would seem to me logical that if you really are a European team, that the only criteria for eligibility would be to be European. But that isn't the case.
No, and you make a good point when you say that you've got to be on the European Tour because that's when you and play the European Tour to get those Ryder Cup points that you get when you play a European Tour event.
That's right. And the great irony, of course, is that they go through this convoluted qualifying system whereby they have two lists. They have a world points list, yeah, and a European money list and all the rest of it. And you know what they ended up with? They ended up with the 12 highest-ranked European Tour members on the world ranking list.
Anyway.
Yeah, a complete waste of time.
I just love that. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the U.S. team that you were pulling for to begin with. Well, not pulling for. You figured they would win. What is making this team so strong? Is it they just came in strong?
Well, it just looked like a good team. I mean, and it had a nice mix of experience and some rookies I like rookies in the Ryder Cup, to be honest with you. I think this experience thing is way overrated, especially when you have guys like Jim Furyk and Tiger who have got, basically they've got losing records, and
dismal.
Phil Mickelson as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of scar tissue there and a lot of bad shots to put out of their minds and a lot of defeats and all the rest of it. So I like the fact that the Keegan Bradleys can come in and they're up for it. I mean, they're simply, they've got no experience of losing, and they go out there and they try to win rather than not lose, which I think is the mistake that a lot of players make.
Bravo! No, watching Keegan Bradley play has just fueled Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson has not been a great Ryder Cup player, and he's just... So he said he prefers playing alternate shot with Keegan Bradley because he doesn't have to play his own ball.
Well, I think you should never underestimate the way the golf course has been presented this week with basically no rough. I mean, it's very much like Augusta National in that respect. I mean, this place is made for Phil Mickelson as well. I mean, the golf course is a big factor in how well he's done.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he can spray the ball around a bit, and the interesting and exciting recovery shot is still part of the equation. And Phil is obviously terrific at that kind of thing,
yeah.
as his record at Augusta National shows. I mean, that's his. There's very few been better than Phil at playing golf courses where short grass is the hazard.
Let's switch to Tiger and Steve Stricker. The first in the alternate shot, which Tiger doesn't, I don't know why. Yeah, I was just hypothesizing that maybe he's under pressure to put the ball in a good place for his partner if he has that kind of feeling inside of him that makes it almost impossible. I was watching Steve Stricker trying to recover from Tiger's shots all morning long. It must have been exhausting.
Well, I mean, I have to admit, I'm slightly cynical about Tiger when it comes to team events. I just don't think he's a team player. And if you look at his record in the Ryder Cup, I mean, his record in singles is really pretty good. His record in four balls is almost 50%, I mean, wins and losses. And his record in foursomes, what you guys call alternate shot, is very poor. So that the more he has to interact and team up with a partner, the worse his record gets. I mean, he's an individual, and that's, there's nothing inherently wrong with that, but that's what he is, and it doesn't mix well in a team environment.
Yeah, exactly. And so sitting out Tiger this morning, I thought was a pretty smart thing to do.
Well, certainly in foursomes, yes. I mean, he was really, really bad yesterday morning in the opening series, but he played very well yesterday afternoon. He made seven birdies. And, you know, if he hadn't been playing Nicholas Kolsarts, I think he probably would have beaten almost anybody else. But Kolsarts played an unbelievable round of golf. In fact, I actually worked it out that Kolsarts playing by himself against the seven other Europeans who were on the golf course yesterday, the seven guys would have beaten him only by 2-1.
You know, John Huggan, you can follow John Huggan on Twitter. And he always makes these very interesting observations, sometimes considered grumpy. But I just think...
Yeah, I am grumpy. There's no doubt about that.
Now, let me ask you about... You were saying something about why are these commentators calling them birdies? You don't make birdies in match play.
Well, that's right. I mean, they put it up on the television screen, this for birdie, which is completely irrelevant in match play. I mean, it just doesn't mean anything. I mean, all you need to know is this is the second shot or the third shot or the fourth shot. That the number of shots is what counts.
Right.
The fact that it's for a birdie is neither here nor there. It's just completely irrelevant in match play.
But I think what they're doing is they're kind of dumbing it down for the audience that may not be that, you know, as we say. For the Hawaii people call it akamai. You're not really that smart. You don't know that much about the game.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So I think that's probably what they're guilty of.
I can understand that in something like the Ryder Cup, which is, it attracts a wider audience
right.
than just the hardcore golf fan. So maybe it does need some explanation. You're right.
Just a little bit. I just give them a break there, a little bit there.
Yeah.
Huggy. I got it. You know, I really like something else that you came up with in your Scotsman.com article that I was reading on the FedEx Cup fix. You know, everybody's talking about how to fix the FedEx Cup. What's your solution? Adding up all the shots?
Well, it seems to be quite simple. You can come up with a system whereby you add up, you know, the scores from the 16 rounds, but you maybe give the winner of each tournament a six. Shot or five shot, how many shots you want to make it?
Bonus points. Yeah.
You maybe subtract six shots for the guy who wins the tournament. That seems to me a fairer, you know, representation of pure competition than, you know, a 4-week system whereby, you know, one guy, in this case Rory McIlroy, obviously plays the best golf over the course of the 4 weeks, but doesn't actually win the thing.
Yeah,
it seems slightly odd.
Yeah, no, I completely get it. I add up all the strokes over the four tournaments. The player with the least amount wins.
Yes.
And
yes,
I don't really think you need to even give bonus points.
Well, I think, you know, I think winning deserves some recognition and some bonus.
All right.
But other than that, I mean, let's keep it simple.
Yes, and then they won't be able to skip a tournament.
Well, that's right. Plus, you know, we get away from this situation where... We've got guys, I mean, the last two guys who've won the thing had no idea they were actually winning it when they did, you know. So what is the point of that? There's no pressure. Well, they're aware of what their position is, but they didn't actually know that they'd won when they won.
Exactly.
It's weird.
Yeah, well, Bill Haas was the perfect example. Really? I won?
Yeah, exactly.
This is something else that I really picked up on. On the biggest gripe, the belly putter. We all talk about the long putter, you know, whether it's you're going to be allowed to anchor it in the future, if they're going to take it out completely. We'll know soon enough, probably in October sometime. But this, what you made the point of, pointing out the size of the driver head, is a bigger gripe to you?
Well, it's had a far bigger influence on the games at the highest level. I mean, you have to separate amateur golf and pro golf from these discussions or arguments.
Yes.
Because anything that helps amateur golfers, you know, have more fun and play better, I'm all for it. Go use whatever you want. But at the highest level, there's no doubt that these frying pan drivers have definitely, you know, they've almost eliminated the art of driving at the top level because, you know, 25 years ago, say, Greg Norman was the best player in the world for a period. And a good part of why he managed to separate himself from his competition was that he was a magnificent driver of the ball with a persimmon-headed driver and a Balata ball. Now, because of the technology, both in the ball and in the driver head, everybody is at least a good driver and maybe even better than that. And the way that Greg Norman, as I say, separated himself, it has basically been eliminated. And the same at the other end of the game to an extent with the 60-degree wedge and the Sebi Ballesteros' edge was basically eliminated by that club as well. You can buy a game now rather than get out there and practice.
And speaking of practicing, if I could have you for just a couple more minutes, you wrote a really great article on the top 10 moments, defining moments in Ryder Cup history.
Uh-huh.
Jack's concession, the Seve shot that there no film exists on, that three wood Seve Ballesteros that struck from a fairway bunker on the 18th hole at PGA National. It was the 83 Ryder Cup.
That's one of the game's great tragedies, that no one has that shot on film.
Yeah, but it must have been you watching Lee Trevino practice. Was it you, the young man?
Yes, I was the little 13-year-old kid watching, yeah.
Yeah, it was 73, direct flights to Scotland, arrived at Preswick, which cross country to Muirfield.
Yeah, well, Preswick's on the west coast and Muirfield's on the east coast. And Scotland's not the biggest country in the world, but it does take about 3 hours to drive across it.
Okay, so all the guys come, the 12-man squad arrives. Most of them go straight to bed, but not Lee Trevino and J.C. Snead.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us what you watched from there.
Well, the two of them, they went out on the range at Muirfield, and there was only about, you know, maybe 30 to 40 people watching, and I was one of them. And Trevino proceeded to put on I can still remember to this day, but it was just an absolute clinic. I mean, he was calling every shot that he hit. He would say, right, I'll hit a draw here, and he hit a draw, and then he hit a fade and a high one and a low one. But the highlight of the whole thing was that there was kind of little wooden stick thing sticking out of the ground maybe 100 yards away from where he was, and he kind of goes, right folks, watch this, and he carved this wedge shot miles up in the air, I mean just sky high, and it came down boom, about 2 feet from the stick, and then with the very next ball he deliberately thinned it with the same club, thinned the ball up straight along the ground, and it stopped 2 feet from the stick as well. I mean, it's just absolute genius, and I've never forgotten that. I mean, that's almost 40 years ago now, and it's still vivid in my memory.
Isn't that wonderful? I mean, I have only one of those moments. It comes nowhere close to what you experienced, but it stays with you forever, kind of like that perfect contact that you once in a while make with a golf ball.
Yes, exactly. And Trevino's here this week, and it made me think of him again. I mean, and that's another thing about golf at the highest level these days is that no one plays golf like Lee Trevino anymore, because the ball and the technology, you know, encourages straight shots. It doesn't encourage shot making, and the game, to my mind, has been diminished at the highest level because of that.
Excellent, John Huggan. Yeah. It's great talking with you, contributor at Golf Digest, Golf World, and Scotsman.com. You can find articles there as well from him. A great read. Thank you so much. A great conversation.
My pleasure.
We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back. I just want to do another shout out to Michelle Wee. She is now the title sponsor of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association Tournament of Champions. That's like the event to get into. And all 9 months out of the year, the Hawaii Junior golfers travel inter-island. It's expensive to travel inter-island, by the way. It's not, you know, flying is over $300 to just go from one island to another. And then you've got to find a place to stay. And you've got to travel about the island. You've got to eat. That would be good, right? Okay, so they do this all year long, and they collect their points for competing at the highest level in the junior golf events that they play, and they're playing at great courses. The one thing about Hawaii golf courses, they open up to the junior golfers and provide them an opportunity to play in excellent conditions. So Michelle Wee, she says, this is my chance to give back to the organization and help the young golfers in Hawaii grow in this game that's given me so much. And assuming the title sponsorship, she utilizes her considerable presence to energize fundraising efforts. And Mary B. Porter King is absolutely thrilled with her stepping up and doing this. So have you noticed how much fun Keegan Bradley is having playing in his first Ryder Cup? It's hard not to see. You won't be able to see it this afternoon. I'm so sorry that you missed yesterday while you were working, right? And you probably missed this morning because you didn't wake up at 3 o'clock. Phil Mickelson says that Keegan Bradley's having a bunch of fun, but it's even more fun for him.
We had a lot of fun today. We had a good time. We played well, and it was really fun for me to play with Keegan. He's just got a lot of great energy. He hits a lot of great shots. He drives the ball as well as I've ever seen a person drive it. Alternate shot was my favorite format because I got to hit the next shot. Best ball, I had to play my own drive, which wasn't as fun. We made some putts, and we were able to walk away with two wins over two really tough teams.
That's so much fun to know that. I mean, Phil Mickelson is doing chest bumps out there. He's having a grand time. And speaking of grand time, let's bring on Stephanie Way. The website she has created is Way Under Par. She's a contributor to sigolf.com. And welcome to the Golf Club. Stephanie, good to have you. Absolutely. You know, the reception from Medina in the midst of Chicago, which is like a big country, a city, might as well be a country. Yeah. It's amazing how difficult it is to get cell reception there, isn't it?
I think the congestion of people out here I was actually having you involved in the media center, media dining this morning, trying to send tweets out. But, you know, it happens at every big tournament when you're in a congested area. Now that they let spectators, which I think is a good thing, bring in their cell phones, the towers get jammed up.
Yes. Okay. You're on the course most of the time, but you're also doing a live blog. How do we connect? Can we do a Q&A with you?
I will be doing the SI or golf.com live blog from 3 to 6 this afternoon.
From 3 to 6? That's your time, right? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. That, and that's 5 hours ahead of us. So about 10 o'clock this morning, Hawaii time, or 3 Chicago time. I noticed one of your tweets, you said it was kind of hard to keep track out there.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Because there's so much going on. And,
yeah.
And now you know why people say that it's like there's nothing like the Ryder Cup.
Exactly. I mean, last week I was at the Tour Championship. I was sitting in the same section as a lot of the Europeans. And, you know, they just said, there's nothing else like it, you know. And in the beginning of the week, too, they told me to get out there, you know, enjoy the atmosphere, et cetera. And it was a little bit scary, even on Wednesday, just how many people were out there. I kind of understand that why Tiger gets powers a little bit, you know, or they think that he's being a jerk, but I think he's just being socially awkward, because I felt intimidated and a little bit scared walking through some of those walkways, because it was so loud and everyone's yelling at you, Tiger, Tiger, you know. So, and they're not very far from you. But with all that said, of course, it's a great thing that all these crowds are out here.
Yeah, well, it's fabulous. It's fabulous. I want to talk to you about the crowds just a little bit. But before we go there, from the media's perspective, this is your first Ryder Cup, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I might be one of the only ones in there that it's my first.
So you're like a rookie. You're like a Keegan Bradley, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, and a lot of the journalists, they said, you know, some of them I didn't cover, they said, you know, I've been to however many Ryder Cups. It's okay to skip. Just the accent, it's a little bit, it's very different than covering a normal tournament. And so I was a little bit stressed out this week with what to expect or what to do or, you know, what I should be doing, et cetera. But, and I think that there's just so much lead up to it. And it was very exciting to finally get out there yesterday afternoon on the golf course. And like I said, like you mentioned, there was so much going on inside and outside of the rope. And then there was the golf. I couldn't keep track of everything because you have, you know, the player entourages inside the rope. And, you know, the wives, girlfriends, the coaches, the parents. And then outside the rope, you have thousands of people. And they're all congested because, you know, there are only so many groups playing. And it's just massive. I mean, I don't understand how, at one point, I think I was with Phil and Keegan against Rory and GMAC. They were, I think, on the eighth or ninth hole, and I looked around the green, and it must have been, you know, it was an endless number of people. I mean, 50 deep, 70 deep, I have no idea. I don't know even if they can see anything.
Right.
But it's great.
It is great. It is great that Chicago is a huge sporting town. They love competition, and they're making a whole lot of noise.
Oh yeah, like I said, Wednesday was scary.
But it's been scary. It was scary. Yesterday sounded scary.
Oh yeah.
This morning sounded. Are they being polite?
No, it's hard to say. I kind of tune it out because I have the radio on. I'm listening to the radio as well. It's borderline. I don't know. There's been some European complaints, but I just think they're being sore losers.
Okay.
That's not true. I had breakfast with a bunch of European journalists today, and they were all in, you know, as they do, having a good poke at themselves, saying, you know, it's great. It's been a while that the Americans have, you know, beat up on the Europeans like this. So it's great to see. And then Alex Maselli walked by and he said he's covered every Ryder Cup since 95 and he's never seen anything like this before. So I guess it's pretty exciting for my first Ryder Cup.
When Alex Maselli, he's been on the show a couple times, when he says he's never seen anything like this before, does he mean the numbers of people?
No, he means in terms of the American play.
Oh, I see. Right. Well, yes, we are definitely kicking some butt.
Right, and, you know, historically, that's not exactly been the pattern. The Europeans have dominated in the last however many years.
Yes, right.
But you know what? Even just, this was sort of the sense I got from just watching the team and the guys, and just, you know, I did a lot of recon last week talking to the players, and I know that this is my first Ryder Cup, but I was around in 2010. Well, 2010, I covered a few majors, and tournaments, and you know, I was still able to get some of the energy, even though I wasn't in Wales, and of the team. And this team just feels like a team. More, and I know that I, you know, wasn't around for Cup, you know, cover the other, the Pass Rider Cup, but from everything I've read and heard from my colleagues, you know, this American team feels more of like a complete team than the European team.
Yeah. Okay. It's from a woman's perspective, okay, watching all of this, what stands out for you?
In terms of
when you're watching the women who are watching, are there a lot of women watching as in the spectator? Are there women?
Yeah.
There are.
Oh yeah, yeah, there are. There are at every tournament. I think. I mean, they're always more men, but they're always more men. I went in the merchandise. I went in the merchandise tent this morning, begrudgingly, because I had to get souvenirs for people. And it's just chaos in there. I mean, they can't keep stuff on the shelves. And it was mostly men. But I saw some women dressed up, you know, in American stripes and what have you, and it was good to see. So the Europeans have a seat in that department too, in terms of outfits and fun outfits and cheers, I would say, even here.
Okay. So the Europeans have us beat in the outfits that you can buy?
No, I mean in terms of their costumes, the silly costumes they wear, they dress up.
Oh,
I don't
yes.
know if you saw earlier this week, I tweeted a bunch of pictures and I asked American fans to step up their game.
Okay, all right. So, in other words, they come out with, they'll be wearing the flag of their country or some silly hat and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
wig. Yes.
You know, but I saw a little bit more of that yesterday. American fans stepping it up and American fans mourning. So that was good to see. But
okay.
The chant, I have a gripe. I mean this in the best way possible. But USA, USA, is just, I mean, I know that's the go-to, but we need to come up with something else. And I should come up with some of my own suggestions, but... My brain is running with too many things. It's running a mile a minute. Like, I kept tweeting the wrong thing, wrong scores or wrong, where the match was yesterday. Because, like I said, there was so much going on.
It is. I just imagine what's going on in the minds of the players when we question what's happening with Graham McDowell, what's happening with Rory McIlroy. Why aren't these guys performing? I mean, they're the top players, and we just don't see them. Well, the putts aren't going in. It's just one of those days. It happens.
Well,
it's golf.
Momentum too. I thought that Graham McDowell was very tired yesterday afternoon. He was supposed to, I think, I was told by one of the European broadcasters that Rory was supposed to go out with Sergio yesterday afternoon. But then Sergio wasn't playing very well either, so that was a last-minute switch, which might have been a mistake. Just because Graham McDowell seemed to be sucking the life out of Rory, they had no energy. It was completely flat. And that was the first one that came to my mind. And then one of my colleagues came up to me and said the same thing. I was like, okay, I'm not the only one that thinks that. Because flat was the word that came to my mind. Even when they would hit a good shot, you know, to try to get some momentum going, you know, they should have been high-fiving or, you know, the energy. I think, you know, the home crowd here is sucking the life out of them a little bit, which is nice to see, you know. It's exciting because... It's been the opposite in the last, the Europeans have won the last 6 out of 8 Ryder Cups.
Yes. Let me ask you this question about what's the MOPO?
Oh, the mobile policy. Let me look.
Wait a second. I've got it for you. I wrote it down just in case. Mobile device police policy enforcement.
Yes. So the MOPO, they had them at the PGA, too. And naturally, I snapped a picture of them. So I'm not sure what the media rules are with phones. So, but, you know, I've seen other people inside the rope, you know, player guests. But I had to snap a picture of the MOPO. I restrained myself. I shouldn't be admitting to this. I restrained myself from tweeting a picture on the board of them. Well, I just tweeted about them.
Good for you. No, good for you. Sometimes you shouldn't take pictures and put them out there because that'll get you in trouble.
With the
mopo. You don't want to be in trouble with the mobile device policy enforcement team.
Well, I don't know how it applies, but exactly. I don't know if there's a real media rule set for that, to be honest.
I just think it's a great name. How about the caddy bibs you guys are wearing? The media.
Oh, they're lovely. They're beautiful. I'm wearing one right now. Right after I get off the phone with you, I'm going to go and try to catch some of the atmosphere before I have to hit up the live blog. I'm wearing number 80 today. They're very flattering.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
my bag matches. You know, I got lucky. You know, good thing I didn't bring, a green bag, I guess.
Yes, right.
That would have clashed.
You would have clashed. And
that's
the media,
exactly what I'm worrying about.
The media is wearing, you see the caddy bibs on television, and so the media this week is wearing caddy, like media bibs, and they look very interesting. They don't stay on the shoulder. You know, one guy was walking along, and it was kind of off his shoulder. That was a very nice look. But speaking of looks, now that's what, you know, women, when they go to an event like this, let's say they actually brave the crowd and go and find to get a, you've got to go early, first of all, to get a good place, right?
Oh, yeah. That's what, I mean, people ask me all week, what time should I come? And I said, early as possible. And people on Twitter, and I just said, get there early. Otherwise, you're not going to, you know, camp out, you know, people thank me so that I gave them good advice. So I'm glad to be of service.
Yes, and the other thing is, what do you wear? I suppose something comfortable, but, you know, women don't want to just look comfortable. They want to be styling.
Oh, I don't know. I've gotten over that. I mean, I used to wear, when I first came out here, I used to wear the ugliest clothes I could probably find in my wardrobe. And then I kind of said, through this, you know, why should I have, you know, I don't wear anything offensive, I don't think. But I am pretty conservative.
Okay.
You know, I'm wearing golf clothes right now.
That's probably the best thing to do. Wear golf clothes, right?
You know, yeah. But you only have so many golf clothes, right? I try to mix it up a little bit. You know, yesterday I wore pants and a button-down shirt, whatever. If I were a spectator, I would wear, you know, normal clothes.
Right.
That were comfortable.
Well, that's what I mean. Spectator.
I could wear a tank top. You know, I would never, ever wear a tank top as a member of the press. And it's just because, as you know, there are very few women who are covering the game. And, you know, are you ready to stand out and attract enough attention that you don't want to attract more attention?
No.
It's hard.
Right. Well, Stephanie Way, have fun with your blog, and I'm enjoying reading your tweets, and it's Stephanie Way, at Stephanie Way, it's W-E-I. Stephanie.
Not to be mistaken with Michelle Wee. No relation.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely, and we'll be back after this. Joining me, Steve DiMeglio, golf writer for USA Today, and an author as well, and a man with a very good sense of humor. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal. That's Alakai Mechanical.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back in the clubhouse. It's underway, the Saturday afternoon four ball with Nicholas Kolsarts and Paul Laurie. Let's see now, my computer just decided to close. Now, one up through two. And that is, Dustin Johnson is one up through two with Matt Kuchar over Nicholas Kolsarts and Paul Laurie. We've got all square through two, Bubba Watson and Webb Simpson with Justin Rose and Francesco Molinari playing with each other there. We've got Tiger Woods and Steve Stricker going one up through two. No, excuse me, make that Sergio Garcia and Luke Donald one up, Tiger Woods and Steve Stricker. We're still waiting for the final group to go out. That would be Jason. Excuse me, things are just not working in my computer. So let's just bring Steve DiMeglio on. It's Jason Duffner and Zach Johnson in the 105 with Rory McIlroy and Ian Poulter. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Danielle?
Excellent, sir. I think I'm just going to close the computer and turn it off. It's either not working. One thing that's driving me crazy about the PGA of America and the way they've got their computer set up, they're doing the score, Europe 4, USA 8. And then they have the projected score, which keeps changing. Europe is projected to have 5 and USA projected to have 10 by the afternoon four ball conclusion. And this keeps, a moment ago, it's like, why are they doing this?
it's almost as bad as the FedEx Cup points projections.
Thank you.
Every 2 seconds. So,
thank you.
You don't project in Ryder Cup. That's news to me. I didn't know they were doing that. And it doesn't make sense, but I don't know.
It just feels weird.
I hope your day keeps getting better, at least better than what Europe is doing so far.
Oh, but, man. Lordy.
Nobody saw this coming. Nobody. And if they say they did see this coming, then I hope they buy some lottery tickets, because nobody saw Keegan Bradley, playing like Jack Nicklaus and Phil Mickelson all of a sudden becoming the best Phil Mickelson that's ever walked the planet. And it's just, and their firepower, I was talking to the players at the Tour Championship, and especially Keegan, and they knew there wasn't going to be any rough. They knew the fairways were going to be wide. And like Keegan told me, he says, I am just going to swing out of my shoes on every par four and every par five. Because even if I hit one bad, the trees, they took out hundreds of trees. So even though there's still trees, there's big gaps in the trees. Plus, I'll be playing with Phil, and he'll rescue me, or I'll rescue him. So why not try to hit the 350-yard drives, which he has been hitting all week?
That's a great philosophy. It's called John Huggan was on earlier, and he said that people like Keegan Bradley don't have any scar tissue. They're not trying not to lose. He's just trying to win.
Exactly. I mean, Keegan has never lost. He wasn't there in the 6 out of the last 8 times Europe has won the Ryder Cup. Webb Simpson's never lost. Frank Snedeker has never lost. Bubba Watson, I know he was in Wales, but it doesn't matter. Bubba's going to be aggressive no matter what. And, he and Webb Simpson were a wrecking ball yesterday.
Yeah, plus Bubba doesn't have long-term memory skills.
Yeah, well, that's probably true. But it's like the juice. That's part of the juice that Phil Mickelson said that the youngsters are providing. They don't have the scar tissue, like John Huggan said. They don't know of, the loss after loss after loss. They weren't in Detroit. They weren't over in 2006 when they got whopped again. And They love to be here. They're taking every opportunity to enjoy everything about this, on the course, off the course. I mean, Keegan has told me he's having a blast playing ping pong in the game room, and it's just they're eating it up. And I know there's a lot of talk, how come the Americans feel look like so much more of a team, and Europe looks, you know, so sort of disconnected. Well, you make a lot of putts, and you're going to feel that, you know, you're going to feel like a team a lot more, and you're going to feel a lot better, and all the world is all good, and, you know, the putts keep going in, and if the putts aren't going in, you know, you're going to look dejected like this Europe has. And,
yeah, they do look dejected, boy.
Yeah.
Can I on the first day, you know, I after my first shift on doing traffic, I go home and I'm watching, and Luke Donald had a really good putt, sank a beautiful putt, and all of a sudden the crowd is booing. And it was interesting because he flinched and he looked up like he was surprised. Why are they booing? I just sank this really good putt. To me, what's happened for the Europeans who play on the PGA Tour so much, when they're around an American crowd and they perform well, they're accustomed to applause. Nicely done. Good job. Beautiful putt. Now, they're here in the U.S. and they're getting, boo, you're terrible. I don't think they're accustomed to having this kind of reaction because they're so used to playing in the U.S.
And plus, I think Luke was a little flinched because they've been playing him up as the Chicago boy. And he does a lot of things around here for Chicago charities. He does a lot of outings for Chicago fans. And, you know, you can boo the other 11. I'm not sure Luke thought he was ever going to get booed. So, and, you know, they had a key putt that he lipped out yesterday in that opening match that, you know, could have stemmed some of the role that Keegan and Phil got on. But right now they're just getting outplayed in every aspect, whether it's on the par threes, the par fours, the par fives. I mean, they're just getting whipped right now. And if they don't turn this around, they might need another miracle from Boston again. If they're down 10-6 or 11-5, they're going to have a miracle that we've only seen once in the entire history of the Ryder Cup.
You know, that's you're sounding so defeatist already. Are you?
Well, I mean, this thing could be over tomorrow by 3 o'clock. I mean, it really could. You know, these four matches out here, they're down 8-4. You know, the Americans only need 6.5 points out of the remaining 16. And, if, you know, they get two of them here, and they only need 4.5 going in the singles, which they have historically dominated, that puts Europe up against the wall big time.
Now, what does this do for the PGA of America? Who's going to watch that? Are we going to watch just because we're watching these great players collapse? Are we going to just go to the beach?
I don't know. I mean, I think they got lucky, and it's amazing how Notre Dame isn't playing football today. It's their bye week. That's pretty amazing by NBC standards. So those people aren't watching Notre Dame instead of watching this. this might be the weakest slate of games for college football on a Saturday all season,
okay.
So they're getting a break there.
All right. So,
and I think, hey, if America's winning, America will tune in.
That's right.
And they don't care if it's a rout. They don't care if it's close. They will watch a route as long as the red, white, and blue is winning. And Tiger will still play tomorrow. Phil will play tomorrow. They'll still play tomorrow. And sure, they could have it wrapped up early in the day, and then they'll just be a party scene the rest of the day. So
yeah,
they'll get their viewers. They'll get their viewers.
Sounds good to me. Now, I'm not able to see because, you know, I have no television. I'm blind. Can you tell me what's happening with the Tiger Woods Steve Stricker pairing today against Sergio Garcia and Luke Donald?
Well, I know that they went out with the biggest gallery, and granted, there's big galleries on every hole, but there's also a moving wave of people, and that was by far the largest moving wave of people. I'm outside, so I'm not even by a scoreboard either.
Okay.
Right now, but that was by far the loudest cheers that I've heard on the tee today, except for the very first one when Bubba and Ian Poulter revved up the crowd and had to make noise while they were hitting their tee shots. But Tiger still moves the needle more than everybody else put together. So
just amazing.
What about? I think They want to see him win a match, finally.
They do want to see him win. He played really well, but Nicholas Kolsarts just beat everybody yesterday. Tiger Woods looked terrible in the morning, looked good in the afternoon. What do we? You think he'll be looking good this afternoon?
I think so. He couldn't get into a flow with Stricker. And, you know, it's hard to get into a flow when you're playing alternate shot. Plus, you know, Stricker plays a different ball that spins a lot more than Tiger's. And so that threw him a little bit. And then once he got into his own ball and he and Stricker were playing side by side and you could get into the flow, he makes seven birdies and they still get run over. So sometimes Tiger just can't catch a break, and he couldn't catch one yesterday. But he threw up seven birdies, and I think six of them came on that back. Five of them came on the back nine. And he missed a little bunny for another birdie. So
yeah,
I expect him to play well again this afternoon.
All right, all right. Are they selling alcohol there?
Oh, yeah. This guy this morning, his sales pitch was, and this is a guy selling beer right by the first tee, you can't drink all day if you don't have a beer in the morning. That was his sales pitch. So, and but I'll tell you one thing. Late in the day yesterday, there wasn't a whole lot of rowdiness going on. Those patches of here and there. So far today, there hasn't been anything out of hand. But it is absolutely gorgeous right now in Chicago. It's warm. So hopefully we don't see it this afternoon. But so far, the fans have been great. There's been a couple of times where they've crossed over the line, just a couple of times. And
how have they crossed how have they crossed over the line?
Well, some of the things they yelled at, you know, when Graham McDowell was hoping to get a drop yesterday on the second hole, some guy yelled out, hit a better shot next time. Somebody said, yelled out today, Luke Donald, you might be from Michigan, you might be from Chicago, but you weren't born in the USA.
Oh, okay.
So,
right.
You know, that kind of stuff. And it's innocent to an extent, but thankfully there hasn't been a whole lot of that.
Yeah, the question that came up on Twitter was, you know, is cheering and don't jeer at the other crowd, at the guy who's making a mistake or whose ball rolls off the green. Don't cheer for that.
I agree, because that rarely happens over in Europe, whether it's the British Open or the Solheim Cup or the Ryder Cup. But there was an instance today when Sergio had an impossible chip shot on the 12th hole with the green running away, and he hit it maybe 1 foot too long, and it rolled all the way down almost into the water, and they were cheering that. That's a little over the line. Cheer as loud as you want for your team, light applause for the other team, but never... You should never, ever, ever applaud mistakes. I've never gotten that.
Okay. So just a little etiquette lesson for us compared to the Europeans. The Europeans, another thing that we do in the States that probably isn't done on television in Europe is we count birdies in match play. This is for a birdie when it's really the strokes that you're counting.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of treating it sort of like a quasi-stroke play event when it's match play.
Well, we have to write it that way. Like I've written that Phil or Keegan have made seven birdies. They made four birdies in a row to close out their match.
Yeah.
Because the American people are used to reading it that way. It's a whole different ball game over in Europe when you read their papers. But over here, you know, the people are, you know, they want to know how they won a hole. And it's so much easier to say with a birdie they won the hole.
Got it.
But the announcer shouldn't say that. They should just say this is to win the hole. Or this is for a half,
yeah.
This is for a potential half. So, and you know, some people are offended by that, but I don't think it's that big of a deal.
No, it's not. It's not. It's just interesting to see as golf moves into the mainstream, as golf tries to cut its way out of a niche sport into a mainstream sport, to bring in people who aren't that familiar with the game, to make it understandable. They understand maybe, some people don't, many people don't understand par and birdie and eagles and all that stuff, double bogeys and bogeys. But when you start getting them accustomed to the terminology, a birdie, I understand that. It makes them feel like they know the lingo. And if you know the lingo, don't you feel hip? You know?
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
right, totally.
And they've got to get hip. I mean, Justin Timberlake was the
the master ceremonies, at the opening ceremonies, Michael Phelps, because he's going to be on the Hank Haney show on the Golf Channel,
yes,
which is owned by NBC. They're going to be, he was on there a lot today. You know, do what you can to try to reach out to as many people as you can. Right now, again, the only person, you know, the lion's share of people who don't care about golf that tune into golf are doing so because of Tiger. If they can lower that lion's share and have more people doing it for some other reasons besides Tiger, and the audience will grow up, maybe that's how you find it. But it's a long, hard battle for golf right now.
What stands out for you this Ryder Cup? We have another, 3 minutes or so to chat. What impresses you the most about this one?
Well, Keegan, right off the bat. Like I said, Keegan, and to see Phil as animated as he is, because Phil has gone through spells, and he's admitted he's gone through spells where his mind would wander, and because, you know, he had a lack of enthusiasm. And Keegan certainly took care of that this week. That's really stood out. The USA fans finally came up with another chant besides USA, USA.
Oh, they did.
It's actually a pretty clever one. It's the away, 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 you're away, you're away, meaning that the Americans were just bombing it past the Europeans, and the Europeans were away, so they had to hit first. So, I mean, when we came up, when we heard that one, we thought, wow, they must have paid some money to this ole, ole, ole guys from Europe. But it's just to see these guys get so excited because they only play for team and country once a year and Europeans once every 2 years. And just to see how giddy they are, just to see how much different they are than the mundane week to week play that they have to grind out to make a living. And to, you know, win on the PGA Tour. Rory's doing scissor kick, head kicks for football right out in the middle of the fairway, and Graham McDowell's faking that he's kicking a soccer ball, and Bubba's revving up the crowd and then walking down the crowd line. And that always stands out. And it's just, I've always been partial to team sports as opposed to individual sports, and it's good to see golf at least once a year, play team sports.
Steve Mamelio is USA Today golf writer, and I can't help but go back to the opening tee shots with Bubba Watson and Ian Poulter this morning, when Ian Poulter encouraged the crowd to make as much noise as possible and wanted that noise to be sustained while he was hitting his tee shot. And then Bubba walked up, and instead of asking for quiet, he said, come on, give it to me.
Yeah, but Bubba did it yesterday, and it was cool. So Ian Poulter saw that, thought it was great, thought it was a great Happy Gilmore moment. So he says, why not join him? And TV didn't really capture from what I was told. I was out there, and it was a lot louder than I think TV even portrayed it to be. I mean, it was loud as they were taking their clubs back and swinging through the ball. It was good times, and I don't know if that's going to be encouraged on the PGA Tour or the European Tour, but it was a nice moment.
It was a nice moment. I certainly enjoyed it. Enjoyed talking with you, Steve. Thanks for being on the show.
You bet. Thank you, Danielle.
Absolutely. Golf writer for USA Today, Steve Demelio, author, too, and a man with a very good sense of humor. We're going to wrap up the show. Thanks for joining us and being with me this morning. It's been a lot of fun. I want to thank the people who make this show possible. Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature, the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr., bordered by the Emerald Green Mountains on Kauai, 30 acres of tropical plants, ancient places of worship, the Heiau. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning statewide. Whether you need sheet metal or a new roof or flashing or gutters or downspouts, doesn't matter what you need, they will build it for you. And you know, if you've got air conditioning, you got to keep it working, because without it, you'd be sweltering all the time in Hawaii. You could barely function. Alakai Mechanical. You got to have your air conditioning running at top efficiency, and that's why you need service from Alakai Mechanical. Star Protection, for property threat risk assessment, protection for your home, for your business, for your concert? Yeah, you've got important people you want to protect. A special event like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection, what you need in Hawaii and California. By Avancé, color, cut, silkening technology, extensions, manicures, or pedicures, whether you are avant-garde or conservative, Avancé. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.